Late night in a second. I was just driving around listening to the Office Hours Live podcast with Tim Heidecker, episode 184. I don't know how to describe this. It is the most subtle but perfect put on of the Joe Rogan experience. Heidecker's not really doing a Joe impression, but he's got his cadence down, and it's a mix of topics of, you know, health cures, working out, hey, I went fly fishing in Montana one time, Bitcoin, conspiracies, UFOs, and the guests tee him up perfectly. It is wonderful. I'm about an hour in. The file says it's 4 hours long. It's not hilarious, but once you know that they're doing Rogan, I can't stop listening to it. Well, obviously I can, because I told you I listened to an hour of it. I got a podcast to record. Tim Heidecker, Office Hours Live, is my recommendation. While I was out, I was getting a sandwich, and one of the regular listeners to the show is hitting me on Instagram. She knows who she is. And she was telling me a friend of hers is supposedly watching something called Bob's Burgers. Now, two questions for the audience. One, have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? The answer is no. Two, have you ever met anyone who has seen Bob's Burgers? The answer is no. But this particular listener who's DMing me claims her friend has seen Bob's Burgers. Obviously, that is not accurate at all. Let's get to late night. Stephen Colbert, we learned the first Omicron case in U.S. soil was found in California, which led the state's Secretary of Health and Human Services to claim Californians were proud to have identified the first Omicron case. Good for you, Golden State. You put that kind of positive spin on all your disasters. Greetings from California, home of extra crispy trees. Colbert again. Unfortunately, that wasn't the only case. A second case in the Omicron variant was identified in Minnesota, but don't panic. It's just one person in America's heartland who recently traveled to New York City. Okay, maybe he was there on business, spent most of his time alone in his hotel getting takeout and staring pensively out the window right after he attended the 2021 anime convention at the Javits Center. Yeah, when I saw that story, I was like, oh no, that's like out of a movie. Continuing with news topics, Jimmy Fallon reminds us CNN has suspended Chris Cuomo indefinitely for Cuomo's role in advising his brother Andrew Cuomo during his recent scandal. Yeah, Chris Cuomo knew something was up when CNN added a suspension countdown clock. Trevor, on one hand, is this a story about a guy helping his brother in a time of crisis? And I mean, who wouldn't do that for his brother? Because you got to remember, brother's the top level of male relationship. Yeah, it goes brother, my dude, homie, this guy, and stepdad. Trevor, of course it does matter, and it does make a difference how you help your brother and what you're helping him with. Like, if your brother murdered somebody, you can either help him get the best lawyer in the country, or you can help him bury the body. I mean, both make you a good brother, but one makes you an accessory after the fact. And people, that's not what CNN's about. CNN is about sitting 12 people together at a desk and having them yell at each other about whether Adele's Las Vegas residency is going to hurt Biden's poll numbers or not. And a third topic from Jimmy Fallon. In Washington, D.C., President Biden attended the 99th annual National Christmas Tree Lighting. Meanwhile, the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree was like, ah, yeah, sure, that's the National Christmas Tree. Kimmel, the event was hosted by LL Cool J. Originally, Snoop was supposed to host, but he canceled once he found out it wasn't the kind of tree lighting he was used to. Fallon, a real-life elf on the shelf, made an appearance. He got up and said, for the last time, my name is Pete Buttigieg. Hey, we never talk about Dave Chappelle much. I actually missed this one because the Duke Ellington School for the Arts put out a statement over Thanksgiving weekend. I know you're like, Johnny Mac, that's 10 days ago. I get it. I understand. I didn't see it. But we never talk about Dave Chappelle on the podcast, you know? So they have decided they will indeed name the theater after Dave Chappelle. Those were the wishes of the co-founder, the late Peggy Cooper Kafritz. There was also the news story that some of the students weren't enjoying the Chappelle so much. The school reacted to that as well, saying, Chappelle cares deeply about Ellington and its students and regards them as family. He made an unannounced visit before the Thanksgiving break to meet with his Ellington family and hear directly from the few students who have concerns about his recent comedy special, The Closer. He also wanted to directly express support for their safety in light of some disturbing online comments targeting the Ellington community. While there's been extensive media coverage about the theater naming and Chappelle's most recent visit to the school, the source stories that have gone viral have been inaccurate, devoid of context, and neglected to include the nuances of art. The school said it educates its students on the importance of media literacy and art as a free and open form of expression to both reflect and challenge society. The statement argued that the school's purpose is not to form a uniformity of viewpoints, but to help instill genuine, respectful curiosity and perspectives that challenge one's own. Dave Chappelle said, "The Duke Ellington School is a glorious institution. Within those walls, I found a context to explore my creativity seriously. Duke Ellington, in large part, prepared me to undertake this noble and difficult profession. It was a fine institution before any of its current occupants got there. God willing, it'll be a fine institution long after their tenure is done. My only intent is to ensure Duke Ellington the opportunity to train its artists unfettered." From the Daily Beast, the transgender woman who announced her resignation from Netflix is speaking out about her experience, her future plans, and issued a direct challenge to Dave Chappelle. Tara Field wrote, "I'd again like to suggest folks donate to my fundraiser for Equitas Health, which does great work for trans people in the state of Ohio, and what a great day it would be for Dave Chappelle to make a sizable donation to them. And so, not only am I raising money for Equitas Health, but you know, I've publicly called on Dave Chappelle to make a sizable donation in his name to Equitas Health, since he cares so much about trans people and cares so much about Ohio, and he's such an ally to trans people. It just seems like it would make sense for him to make a donation. It's a natural match." Tara Field added, "The last 2 months of my life was more stressful than when I transitioned, and that's saying something." From NOLA.com, Mark Normand said, "Turns out COVID was a good time to put out content because people were absorbing. I started the We Might Be Drunk podcast and started my own podcast all over the road." In his recent special, he used the Emma word for little people. But Mark says, "Offensive words are like alcohol. Sure, you can abuse it and sure you can hurt people, but if you do it responsibly, it's a good time. I'm not even trying to be provocative or offensive. I'm just joking about the things I think are interesting. That really bothers people. There are certain buzzy terms like trans or gay or black or whatever, and people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. And you're like, I haven't even said anything bad yet. You heard a certain word and got angry and assumed the worst. You're not even listening anymore. Times have changed. Social media really embolden people. They feel entitled to their opinion. Comedy is one of the last places you can tell the truth. Now, the truth is more offensive than the actual offensive stuff. I know comics who are blowing up, who sell out theaters, and certain networks won't touch them because they're controversial. And I'm like, hey, have you heard of Richard Pryor, Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, Sam Kinison, Eddie Murphy, Howard Stern? The whole thing was going against the grain. Not playing the game is rock star crap. I thought that was what we were going for. Everybody's nervous." Mark Normand appears in season 3 of Netflix's comedy series The Stand-Ups, which will be available December 26th. Gabe Iglesias talked to Savannah Now and said, "All of my comedy influences would probably be canceled today. I don't know if I should be name-dropping or not. Things you could say back then are not the things you can say now. I was a big fan of..." Now listen to this list. It's just like Mark Norman's list. Sam Kinison, George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock. "The material that was influential back then might not be considered influential now." Oh, you listen to some of the Pryor stuff about cops? It is. It's like it was recorded last summer, and I'm convinced George Carlin was a time traveler. I got an email from his daughter Kelly, and I was thinking if I might have Kelly on the show. I want to talk about George was just such a prophet. But I digress. Back to Gabe. Gabe said, "The material that was influential back then might not be considered influential now. Definitely the personalities and the way they presented themselves, like Robin Williams' improvisational style of comedy with his voices and characters. The same thing with Eddie Murphy. Did a lot of voices and characters and borrowed a lot from Richard Pryor. Like, a lot. I tried watching it the other day with the eyes of today, and yeah, I got maybe 2 minutes in before I had to mentally hit that buzzer inside my head. Like, yeah, I don't know if we could watch this today. I try to keep my show a certain way so everybody can come out and enjoy it and have a good time and not feel like I'm attacking or being controversial or divisive, but I do enjoy comics who are. I like Jim Jefferies, Bill Burr, Tom Segura, Dave Chappelle. I like comics who push the envelope and make you feel uncomfortable with some of the things they say." Gabe also chilled out with the cakes after finding out he was diabetic. He said, "I think the cakes slowed down over the years, especially when I started talking about it. Don't get me wrong, people still try to bring in things, but nothing makes it to the table anymore. Everything used to make it to the table. People bring gifts and it goes through layers. Security has to have a part. Anything that's edible, especially now with COVID, nothing makes it past the door." Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. That is the podcast I write for about the royal family. 5 minutes a day about the royals. I compare it to The Crown season 17. Last week with the Meghan Markle stuff. I mean, basically every day with the Meghan Markle stuff. Unbelievable. Now we'll be heading into stories about the Queen and Christmas and what the Queen can do and can't do and who shows up and who doesn't show up. And what are Harry and Meghan doing for Christmas and how come they're not with the Queen? Oh, it's going to be a wonderful couple of weeks. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. From the Washington Post, for Russian comedians, political satire is no joke. It can now land them in jail. A Russian video comedy troupe in a small provincial city was doing just fine. It clocked up millions of YouTube views with mischievous political satire. Then the comedians did a gag in which a drunken political boss with a grenade launcher blows up an election poster. They each face up to 8 years in jail, charged with extreme hooliganism. Andrei Klotchkov says, "We're not criminals. They're trying to make us into criminals. We're not hooligans. We're just an ordinary film crew." Stand-up comedians are scrolling through their old online content, removing cheeky jokes. YouTube comedy creators are fearful. Police and suspected plainclothes agents are turning up at stand-up comedy clubs. Comics are getting death threats. On an irreverent YouTube channel known as Barracuda, with a K in the middle there, a fictional character parodies a provincial official, slurring his words, issuing crazy orders, and making local problems worse. One of the editors of a local newspaper said, "That's a guy who thinks he always knows what to do," talking about the character. "He's very confident, who can never be wrong and is always right. He does whatever he wants. He's funny because he's so recognizable to people." One skit addresses the city's public toilet shortage, so the fictional character orders up rickety wooden latrines with no internal walls to be installed on every street. The guy that plays the official in the sketches was jailed for 5 days last year after the show ran an episode about a corrupt police boss caught with boxes of money. Larissa Krivonasova plays fictional Interior Ministry spokeswoman Marina Wolf in the skits. She was fined for wearing a uniform, then jailed for 3 months over a parole violation. Over an unrelated 2017 charge, the Wolf character appears to spoof the real Interior Ministry spokesperson. That person has the last name Volk. The team denies that that's who they're spoofing. At comedy clubs, humorless plainclothes men have begun filming shows on their cell phones. One of the comedians says, "They have this vibe. They're a specific type." So tell me, do you think this affects comedy? That there's a dude in a leather jacket sitting there not laughing at the show, and the first thing that comes to the comedian's mind is the FSB came for me? You just feel the presence, that vague dark presence. Who it is and what they do is not clear, but just in case, watch your mouth. He says self-censorship, because a policeman appears in your head, has taken hold even among bright young comics. But Putin and his allies remain a tempting target. He said, if everything's going bad, none of your jokes work, and you're losing the audience, you say, ah, this darn Putin. And then people are on your side again. They start laughing. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows, good pods as well. And I'll see you tomorrow.